by your meeting.
Yeah, long press is the second year.
Well, I thank you, but on the charts, very good one, and it's you and I are going to talk to you, tell Osher, and it's going to be a long time for the final hit.
Yeah.
We all are reassuring about what we're not doing, but you and I know damn well what we are doing.
Well, I had the same thing with the press. And did a lot of bobbing and weaving and a lot of smoke up their ass about the White House staff and all that.
That was too tough.
Old John Osborne sat there and looked at it like this all the way through.
Yeah. That's a hell of a good moment, I mean, the White House staff. Now a member of the public, a legislative leader, or the president wants to know something about a general subject. He's got one window to go through.
Sure.
I think the one window theory is a very good idea. And it's the fact that we're going to have greater contact with the cabinets as a result of this.
Yeah, I gave the press a heavy load of that stuff.
Yeah, we were putting more into the department so that the departments would put more responsibility on the cabinet officer.
Right, but the cabinet would continue to work and the NSC, the domestic council, he would continue to have contact with him in these ways and so on and so forth. And of course, any cabinet officer was free to come in and see you when he had to. All that is, you know.
Yeah. But any of that, after reading it all, you still think it's a good idea?
Well, I think cosmetically it's gonna be fine. I think that we're gonna get a lot of mileage out of this.
See, sure.
Why that? Well, because it cuts across all this business about your isolation and about your being in the thrall of the White House staff and the White House staff's too big and all powerful and all that business. And that break some of that up. We don't have to defend that. You're leading the way.
It's basically you're in charge, it's untrue, but you can't answer the untrue charge.
No,
it's saying it's untrue. You can't change something.
That's right.
It appears you're
in. And you've responded to the thing, and keep them off the balance and keep screwed up for a while.
Oh, I think it's my job,
You made a hell of a talk this morning.
Well, there are such a miserable bunch of people.
I understand. Now, I think especially the Vietnam remarks.
That's what
were first rate.
I still love them.
Yeah.
You know, I put the other stuff to go a little bit. You're going to blow smoke up their ass and get them on the mountaintop and make them realize that something was happening in the world other than Vietnam.
But
quite true, you know.
Good, firm. I don't know.
Good message. So, see, you can point to Henry to prepare a talking points. Which would have been a disaster. I mean, the commodity to take them all on versus the highly irresponsible Congress to interfere with the negotiations at this point. And if you want to even ask for their support and so forth and so on, the president can't be in a position of doing that. I mean, others can take them down, but they all get to the point when I say that I'm not going to say anything. I can say, I go out and make a nice little speech and support, but I'm not saying my jeopardy is negotiating.
That's all you know.
That tells them that they should.
You've got the help.
And if they won't get the point, the hell with
them.
I think it's another thing to say to them, John, as it is. You see, I must say that the thing you understand is, I guess it's because we're both lawyers, but I can't get him ever to understand subtlety. Subtly, you know, there's more than, of course, his whole view is just go on the offensive. Go on the offensive on this sort of thing. Why did you want to actually go in there and say it was highly irresponsible for the actions of the House and the Senate at this time when we're going into sensitive negotiations to advocate an entirely different position? I think it's much more effective to say to them, gentlemen, I disagree.
Yep.
And this is what we're going to do.
And there's no way around that. There's no way around that. You know, I mean, that's it. Another approach to this that I just came on, and you've been saying the last few days, Richard was up and he's doing a piece for the wire services.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, does a president feel beleaguered by the attack of the Congress?
Sure.
And I said, well, Gene,
anything new?
Look, I said, the president feels that over 60% of the American people have approved of what he's doing. I said, you remember what the issue was in the campaign?
Right.
It was bug out,
yeah,
or stay in there and work for
responsibility.
And I said
over and over again.
And I said, if there's anything that can be called a mandate out of this election, it is that a majority of the American people, and way more than a majority, approve of what the president's doing. Now, Joan Baez and Ed Brooke and William Payne Coffin and these people weren't part of that 62%. But 62% of the people are sitting out there approving this. So I said, the president feels very comfortable about his position. And it hasn't changed since then.
That was one point of the story that I, again, got across much more differently. Boy, Henry suggested you want me to go in with that. First, it's not discussed until I was talking to people. I'm not saying it's critically, but it shows you that I think part of the problem he has in his negotiations, Johnson, he just may not have a solid sometimes to get across. There are ways to.
Yeah,
but, you know, but anyway, like the whole matter of he wanted me to take on the North Vietnamese, as he put it, and they brutally changed their policy and so on. I think that it's enormously effective, if I may say so, to go through this idea with just simply that deadpan saying on May 8th we did this, on October 8th they did that, we had a breakthrough and we had an agreement. As a result, I suspended the bombing above the fund. Then after the election, they backed off the agreement. As a result, I revoked the election. 2 days before New Year's, they agreed to come back and stop shooting. I suspended it again, yeah, as long as they're shooting. Now, you don't have to say there, you know, if people can't read between the lines and know why you bombed,
yeah,
out of their
yeah
minds, aren't they?
Yeah.
Did you get the point?
Absolutely. And it was clear
that Don Congress
was better. But I think
it's so
no, but I think that was the clearest explanation of the constancy of the policy that I've heard lately.
Okay, so
and
so
yeah.
Sigler has said it.
He said it, but he has not said it with that constant thread running through it. He said, well, we returned on the basis of our May 8th policy to that amount. But it didn't come through quite the same way. At least I got more out of it.
It isn't too bad, actually, that I can't go on. I mean, I haven't been able to go on to explain it. As you could well see, it would have been a disaster to go on, as Henry was strongly recommending, after the negotiations blew up, because then I'd be on a defensive way and everybody else, the goddamn war was starting again.
But
now it started again, that's all. But then to go on afterwards and then say, ha-ha, they came back to that conference,
yeah,
that might blow the thing.
That's right. That's
but
right.
Our time will come.
Yeah.
Now, either of these negotiations will succeed next week or within the next, shall we say, 2 weeks, whatever it may be, or they'll fail.
Mm-hmm.
If they fail, we have to look for another hole. And then that would be the blame of Congress for it. But if they succeed, God knows what happens. It's a tough kitty business. But I can only say that if at this point they do not succeed, they never will. Because probably not for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean they know it then. And you can't you know, when you say can't do that, you've got to demonstrate that the consequences are not negotiable.
Well,
how many times have we done it? We did it on November 3rd. We did it in Cambodia. I did it in Laos. We did it on May 8th. We did it over Christmas. Now, if they have not got a message from that, the only other thing that you can do is to destroy them. And that we cannot have good conscience of. See my point?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I go over. That's what I tell when I tell Henry, you know, it goes back to the talk. He, you know, talks way about they don't talk, we have to do something more. I said, now Henry, we didn't talk that way in this room. I said, but you've got to know from a negotiating
know what more we can push. What more can we do that we haven't done? We can't take much more. Unless you want to destroy them down. And that we can't do. That ended with World War II. Probably unfortunate that it did. I mean, the Martians, you know. Because both Korea and Vietnam would have been ended in a matter of months had we followed the policies. I don't mean this, I'm not bidding military weapons, but I mean that the policies of civilian, of devastation, down in the area. Well, let's put it this way. If we follow the policy toward North Vietnam that they followed toward South Vietnam, we could think about that. Because when they talk about one damn little hospital up in Hanoi, for Christ's sake, they destroyed scores of hospitals.
Sure.
Nobody says a goddamn word.
And their characteristic attack is not a military installation. These rocket attacks are always into the civilian quarters of the town.
Old people can't get the facts on them. They get old people and shot and shoot. But they won't do any good. You know, we could try it time and again to get off the facts of the double standard. When is anybody ever going to take on that? Even when we were doing this bomb in the North, they were shelling the Nanny.
Yeah.
And killing, and they destroyed Martin, destroying six.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good area.
Right. Well, we saw them there. It's the time George and I were there.
Sure.
In Saigon and down in the Delta and all that. It's all civilian.
It's really brutal.
It really is. And
our bombing is directed to military targets. That's one of the reasons why we're using the planes.
Yeah. That's right, there are a whole lot of easier targets around.
Anyway, it's actually tell people, I say, you know, it's around the wall. They say, what the hell with that? You got to realize it. But what's the move? So, if it works, fine. If it doesn't, you do something else. I think that's got to be our attitude more of this congressional group, too. The Congress is in a confusion with the Democrats because they got to have something to lash out at. The Republicans, because they're frustrated.
Yeah, Connell was saying that at breakfast this morning. Said they're going to, the Republicans are going to try and put a lot of space between themselves and the OMB.
Because of the budget.
Because of the budget cuts.
What do you think of that?
On the budget cuts, rough as a cob. I don't think you've got much choice in terms of the overall economy. I think you've got to do it.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I'm raising the question as to whether we have any choice.
Oh, I don't see that you have any choice. Because to do what we would have to do to buy peace with the Congress would be terrible inflation. No question about it. That, I mean, as I understand the economics of the thing, these experts tell us.
Well, we shall have to see what effect it has.
It's going to be rough. I'll tell you, it's going to be good in a lot of ways. We're getting at farm programs, for instance, that are crappy programs.
Yeah.
And the screams and howls are going up all over the place. But that's a damn good press conference, yes.
What did you say?
Well, he said that you hear all these screams from the Limestone Institute. It's very interesting. But he says, who are the beneficiaries? He says, only 13% of the recipients of the money for this program are farmers. And yet all the protests are coming in the name of the farmers. Who are they? Well, he says they're wealthy people from country places. They're large corporate landowners, people of that kind, that are building lakes on their property, other things of this sort. And he nailed it pretty good. Then he went on and he hit this disaster relief, it's 1% loan business and $5,000 forgiveness and all that. And he demonstrated the abuses that the Congress had built into that program. Can't permit this. Don't run away. Nailed it. So,
it's good to have a smart, tough man.
Yeah, it really is. And they said, well, why do you allow the OMB to do it? Now, wait a minute, he said. I suggested these cuts. He said, those came from the Department of Agriculture. Didn't come from the OMB.
Well, I saw the talking meter of it. Then I heard it all true and say, well, you'd almost say, well, I think we should go. But good God, isn't $250 billion enough?
Yeah.
Really, money comes out.
It's funny.
And it really is. Now, we just got after them and let them squeal. It'll hurt, because congressmen and senators are parochial as hell. They really are. They don't vote against you because of this, and you cut here and that. But if they do, don't they?
Mills, you know, has sent you a message by Schultz to hang in there. He says you're doing the right thing.
Really? No. Oh, he told me he sent a message, and I haven't had it yet.
Yeah.
He said we're doing the right thing?
Yeah. That's the most important thing you've ever done.
What? Because
$250,000. He was extremely cordial this morning.
Wonderful.
62% maybe means something, yeah. He only got what? Half a 1% or something. I brought you some posters that are kind of interesting. The Redskins.
Oh,
they've done a big drug project. And if you ever talk to Allen or Brown or any of those guys, they each have done one of these.
Oh.
And they're very well done. Kilmer and Jurgensen and the whole bunch. And virtually every player on the squad has done something all different. He's gone out to schools, boys clubs. Some CIO over at this Bureau of Narcotics, a special narcotics operation. They got quite a thing going. And the Redskins are the only team that's done it. We got one of those citations.
Oh,
right. That we put together and figure out what you want to present as findings to somebody.
The ones that you read are going to be tight end.
Yeah,
but the ones Yeah, Washington, but he had to be good to move the Ohio law, I'll say. So I was in that first half, was staying good up. Yeah, I thought they were open, would you? Well, it was a good game up till halftime. I mean, you know, just this way, except that SC was showing a lot of class, but Ohio State was not showing.
They were supposed to pop,
yeah. But it almost got uninteresting to the end.
Oh, I see. It wasn't interesting. Right. Matt Henry, I'm going to see Scott and go with that. We just expected what's going to happen to the drug program here today. Got that Canadian and that's unanimously passed the resolution that they have introduced by the Department of the Economy. And destroy it. I mean, that is the outrage. If they would have had
for Article 3, Article 8, and the effect for the director of the name of that. That's nothing. And they're talking only about the subjects that we want to talk about, the International Control Commission and the CSIR.
How much effect does the Canadian Parliament have on that?
Well, that's the part of the opinion.
Huh?
That's the only thing that's part of the opinion. Anything that could drive out of the credibility that we might do it again. You and I know what we know, but now you have to think that it could happen again.
And I suppose that's the trouble with the Congress, too. See, that's what the congressional thing about, which is, congressionally, it doesn't bother me one bit to stand by the American. I believe we can place them down the floor and do it again if necessary. But it's the question of the effect it has on those dead people there now.
I will have tenants there too.
Oh, yeah,
to take it.
We're meeting.
Okay.
But give them some gobbledygook about the International Control Commission.
Right.
That'll do.
You know, it'd be a target for all of us, particularly hard for him.
Yeah,
he reads everything and the resolution so far and so on. And I can say they have their own lead away.
Well, I guess that we've been through before.
Yeah, they had their effect on him a whole lot more than, for instance, I mean, I could care less about what the Canadians do.
Or the Canadians.
It occurs to me that Henry Alessio, we don't know, you guys have really shown some class in being able to wheel Canadians. You know, of course, it doesn't make any difference to us, but it's kind of an interesting exercise. And not let it flop around.
Would you follow through on the charge shells, tell him to find a way to squeeze them real hard?
Sure.
You bet.
We got two ways that I know of.
I don't know what
tire,
just have a charge, sure. Whatever we have said about it, there are reasons that we have to get, and just squeeze them. Anything that we're doing, we just give them a little.
Sure.
I just believe in playing the game that we're in.
All right, I'll give them a call.
Well, very thankful.
Good God to hell. If there was anybody who wanted to bomb us tonight, I don't know who it was.
Well, that's
who wanted
the irony.
Who wanted to spend Christmas when they're bombed?
Yeah, that had to be done.
Otherwise, we'd be sitting here with no cards.
We got cards now.
But this is it. This is the last.
Yeah.
I told her doctor, I said, this is it, Henry. It's not going to be. You can't give it another turn of the crank. In a sense, it's rather good that maybe the Congress does kick up on the Canadian Congress, because clearly, apart from the international and all that bullshit, I never thought about that. I look at it another way. There just comes a time when even achieving what we call an honorable end, the cost may be too great.
Got my point?
Yeah, sure.
In everything, there's a point.
You cannot destroy civilization.
Yeah.
Cover to save your honor.
Yeah. See
my point?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's the real thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, sure. And now, of course, the point is in destroying them. See you later, Frank.